today as we come to the table.
Let God be the one that leads us. We follow the Lord. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. I love this. About 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it. That is the ark, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you've not passed this way before. That is, you're going to a new area that you've never been before. Give God time to make the path clear. What a great truth that is for us. God, I don't know what to do. I've never been here before. Pray and wait. Pray and wait on the Lord. Give God a little bit of room to go before you and say, look, trust me. Let me go before you. When you see the way that I go, simply follow.
We're pretty impatient as humans most of the time. We don't like waiting for anything, do we? Have you ever been impatient waiting in line in a fast food drive-thru? That person in front of you made you wait a whole 60 seconds longer than you should have. God's timing can mean waiting quite a bit longer than 60 seconds. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will challenge you to pray and wait on the Lord. God cares about you and wants the best for you. Waiting can be hard, but trust in God. He goes ahead of you to clear the way. So you just need to be patient while He does. Then you can follow in the path that He has made for you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
He says, the Lord will be with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. I find it interesting that Joshua, this picture of Jesus, after 3 days, the promised land was available. And after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, Jesus rose from the dead. And now we have the promised land available through our Joshua, through our Yeshua, through Jesus, because of his death and resurrection and the cross. And so now we can enter the promised land after that 3 day sacrifice that he made for us, that 3 day waiting period, if you will, which has already been done through Jesus. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh, that is the shorter ones. Just kidding. Half-tribe of Manasseh spoke to Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, the mighty men of valor, and help them. Remember, there were certain ones, the Reubenites, half-tribe of Manasseh, they stayed on this side of the Jordan. You know, that's where they were going to have their inheritance, but they had to go in the promised land and fight with everyone else first. Then once the land was conquered, they could go back and take their land that was on this side of the Jordan. He's just reminding them of that. He says, verse 15, until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Now, good, up to this one, that's great. You mean, okay, Moses was our leader. We heeded Moses. Now you're our leader. We're going to heed you. But notice they put this little caveat on here, which I'm sure was kind of like, okay, wow. Is this only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses? We need to see God's hand on you. But if we see God's hand, we're going to follow you just like we did Moses. So, I think they really meant that. But it's kind of like, okay, we're not going to just, you know, blindly follow. We need to see God's hand on you. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Look at this, the fourth time in this chapter. Only be strong and of good courage. So God says it to Joshua, and then now the people say it to Joshua. Moses said it to Joshua. Everybody's saying it to Joshua. Have you ever had something that God keeps saying to you everywhere you turn? This is what's happening now to Joshua. Everywhere Joshua turns, God keeps saying the same thing through everybody. He's getting the point across. I want you to hear me on this. This is my spirit. I'm telling you this, Joshua. You be strong and of good courage. I'm going to do this work. Chapter 2, now we get into them beginning to get ready to go into the land. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Now, this verse is loaded. A couple things to note here. Notice, rather than sending out 12 like Moses did, Joshua sends out two. I find that interesting because out of the 12, how many came back faithful? Two. Yeah. So I wonder, I don't know if Joshua was thinking that, hey, there were two of us, myself and Caleb, so I'm only going to send out two, and I'm going to handpick them. So it wasn't wrong of him to send these two in, but I've no doubt he handpicked a couple of guys that were very faithful, that he knew would go and just get the information that he needed. And I think what Joshua was doing, he was protecting, he learned from Moses his mistake, and he was protecting the body, that is the congregation, from people coming back and putting doubt and fear in the hearts of the people, even as those 10 had come back and put doubt and fear in the hearts of the people. And there's a lot of things you learn as a leader over the years not to do a second time. There's some things that, you know, basically as a leader, you learn, okay, that was a big mistake. We're not going to do that again. And I think this is one of those. Joshua saw a mistake that Moses made. And so he says, I'm not going to make the same mistake. I'm not going to give an opportunity for some of the spies to come back and go, we can't do it. It's too scary. No, I'm going to pick two guys who I know have faith. I'm going to send them in to get the information we need. They're going to come back and everybody's, how'd it go? It went great. God is great. He's going to give us victory. And so now we see them with great courage, basically building off of the mistake that Moses made, him doing this. Now, also notice he says, especially to Jericho, because he knew they were going to be going to Jericho to conquer Jericho. That would be the first city that the Lord was sending them to. Notice they came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged them. Now, why would they go to a harlot's house? I think there's a number of reasons here. Number one, that would be a place where you wouldn't get a lot of questions and you wouldn't have to identify yourself. Remember, they were going in as spies. And if you went as a foreigner to the, you know, Jericho Holiday Inn, and Jericho's already watching for spies from Israel because they know they're on the other side of the Jordan. They know they're being threatened. They've heard about them. They'd be watching for foreigners to come in. You go to a prostitute's house and nobody's going to ask any questions. It's a great place to go in secret and stay hidden. They obviously weren't going there for any wrong reasons. I think this was a wise move because nobody would necessarily, that would be one of the safest places you could go without getting a lot of questions. You know, the prostitute in the house is not going to say, where are you guys from and who are you and what are your intentions? I mean, she's probably, okay, you're men, you came to a house of prostitution, I probably know what they are. And of course, they don't fulfill those, which normal people would do at that kind of place. But I think this is very wise in the spy sense of staying clandestine and not have to face a lot of questions and all that. They probably chose Rahab's house for that specific reason. But God was doing something amazing here in Rahab that nobody could have known. No doubt when they went to Rahab's house, they didn't realize that this was going to be a very special woman who was not only going to repent and give her life to Christ, but is going to be in the actual line of the Messiah. Isn't it amazing how the world would look at somebody and say, oh, that's a prostitute. And God looks and goes, here's a chosen vessel that I'm going to use in a great way. And their name's going to be eternally exalted. I'm going to send my son through that vessel. Is this amazing or what? You ever think maybe God can't use you and you're a nobody and your background's not this and that and maybe you're not the whatever? Listen, the Lord knows the heart and God sees the heart. I love the fact of his grace, how he comes after those of us that the world would throw away. And he says, I'm going to do an amazing work through you. This is what our God does. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I love it. Rahab is that type of person. And Rahab is a very special woman for a number of reasons. We'll get more to Rahab in just a moment. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. Now, everybody was watching for foreigners to come in, so they recognized that two people from the children of Israel, two Israelites, had now wandered into Jericho and had gone to Rahab's house. They were seen, although they tried to keep it secret, they were seen. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they've come to search out the country. Now, get an idea of Jericho. Jericho was about 10 acres inside the city. It had double walls, thick walls, a break, another 15-foot thick wall, and then you'd go into the city. So you had the real thick walls, the gates, houses on the wall, houses inside the wall. It wasn't a huge city, but it was well fortified, 30-foot high walls at least on the outside from what they found excavationally of what's left of Jericho. So we have an idea what it was like. And so there's not a lot of places to hide in Jericho. And he goes and they find that everybody would have known Rahab's house because no doubt she was not only visited by the locals, but by people traveling. And so the woman took two of the men. He said, I know you've hid them. I know they're with you. So the woman took the two men. She heard this was happening. She hid them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I do not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I don't know, and pursue them quickly that you may overtake them. So she basically lies about where they are and this kind of thing, trying to hide them and protect them. And I'm not going to take up for her lie. And really, the Bible doesn't take up for her lie. The Bible just kind of tells the story. This is what happened. But either way, she protected them. She lied about it. She hid them. And this is something where, you know, God sent them to Rahab. Rahab, he was already working in Rahab's heart. Rahab was a woman who desired, no doubt, to be forgiven of God and wanted to be cleansed. And now God sends people to her that could tell her of the God of Israel, and she's hiding them. And so God's already working this whole thing out in this kind of supernatural unification of her becoming a part of the children of Israel. And so they take off to go looking for them. Kind of reminds me of these people that would hide the Jews during World War II. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Now, this verse tells us a lot about Rahab. If you don't know about flax, you wouldn't know that, but it does. Flax was not an easy thing to grow. Flax is a very hard plant to harvest. You would take the flax, you'd have to lay it out in the sunlight in order, and you'd have to water it each day. You'd put water on it even after it was cut down so that it would split properly, and they would make materials out of it and all these kind of things. A lot of work that it took for flax. If you were going to work with flax, you were a very diligent person. There were opportunities to make good money from it and opportunities to be industrious with it, but you had to be somebody who was not afraid to work, very diligent, and this kind of thing. And that says a lot about Rahab. This is no normal prostitute. It's not like she's just like some loose woman living for the flesh and making her money that way. She probably, no doubt, was trying to do this to survive. She didn't like it. She was industrious, trying to make a living, working hard in flax. Again, a lot of character issues going on here, although I know she was a prostitute. We're going to see she repents and turns from that. And it kind of reminds you of Proverbs 31, the woman that rises early and works with her hands and does this. So there's a lot. I think the Holy Spirit is giving us some insight into some qualities of the character that God had inside of Rahab that simply needed to be nourished and loved and developed. And so she hides them under the flax. The men then pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. As soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. She pulled it off. They're out of going to look for them. And before they lay down, she came up to the roof. So she comes back up to talk to them, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Look, God's already speaking to her heart. I know you guys are of the Lord. And I may live here, but I know God's given you the land. That the terror of you has fallen on us. We're afraid of you because we've heard the reputation. Notice, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Again, so they're hearing now this great report that God is putting fear of them and their enemies. So now they can come in battle with great confidence, knowing that they have the upper hand in that emotional, psychological side of the battle already. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, and were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. So notice this, we heard that you dried up the Red Sea. This is interesting to me, because now they're going to see them dry up the Jordan, which would have put more fear in their heart, because they'd be going, the same thing God did in Egypt, he's now doing here. So the victory he gave them over the Edomites, which they aren't Edomites, but over Egypt, he's giving them here, we're going down. So God was really setting this whole thing up to create even more fear and to defeat them against the children of Israel coming in. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. As we lost all hope and all strength. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. And again, what did God tell Joshua? Be strong and of good courage. And yet now what's he doing? Taking away the courage of the enemies of God because of you, for the Lord your God. He is the God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. So this is music to these guys here. They can't wait to get back and let Joshua know. The people are afraid of us. God is already putting fear in their hearts. This is wonderful. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I've shown you kindness, that you also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Look at the character again of Rahab. Again, it's not the kind of character you expect when you think about a harlot. She's industrious. She believes in God and his word. She's fighting for her family. There's a lot of deep character in this woman that's trapped in sin. But again, the Lord sees us for what we will be, not where we are. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you love that? I love that. And so have mercy on us, deliver us. And the men answered and said, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, if your family remains quiet, in other words, and you guys don't reveal us, It shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the wall, for she dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there for 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and afterward you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless, we're not going to be held accountable unless you do this. When we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window. And by the way, flax was used. They dyed a lot of things with flax and that kind of stuff. So he says, bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. It has to be there. And unless you bring your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household to your own home. In other words, everything's going to be destroyed but your house. So you got to get all your family in here, and you got to put this red scarlet cord hanging out your window. And that way we'll be able to recognize which house is yours. You might think, when the heat of battle, how did they know that? What's cool about this is God had them for a full week circling Jericho, didn't he? And when they went back and told him, hey, we have to spare this one house that has this red scarlet cord on it, every time they'd walk around, they'd see that house and go, that's the one, guys, that's the one. Nobody attacked that one, nobody. And they were well aware of which house was protected. What's really cool to me about that is even as they put the blood on the houses, the red blood on the houses in Egypt, and the death angel passed over, now they have this red scarlet cord in this covenant where they won't attack Rahab or her household, protecting her. And that whole picture again of us being covered by the blood and being covered by the Lord and being protected if our home is under that covering, so to speak. So again, a lot of symbolism and a lot of similarities here when it comes to Rahab's home. So it should be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on them. So we're responsible if anybody attacks and you're in the house, but if you guys leave, you're on your own. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from our oath, which you made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away and departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in her window. Guys, again, I can't emphasize the beauty of this story. Anyone, regardless of our background, God's grace and God's mercy and God's love, if we simply cover ourselves in his protection. And what's really sweet to me about this is you think about how God shows his grace to the sinner. Rahab had a child by the name of Boaz. And Boaz, as you know, when Naomi went into Moab, Ruth, another foreigner, comes back with Naomi and meets Boaz. And remember Boaz? I'm sure that Ruth was a cutie because the scripture kind of indicates that. So that probably didn't hurt any. But he had a heart for another foreigner because he came from a family that was a foreigner and was invited into the family of God. Is that not the story of us as Gentiles? We've been invited into the family of God. God called the children of Israel, and he's invited us as Gentiles to be a part of that family. And what that should do for us, that should make us be gracious and merciful to other people that are not a part of the family and say, you know what? You want to be a part of the family? You're welcome. The Lord will accept you. This is not an exclusive club. Anybody that has the scarlet thread, anybody that has the blood covering their home, they're welcome here. And so you see this whole picture of just God's story of working all this together. And of course, Ruth and Boaz, and from their line comes Jesse and David. And then of course, the Lord himself coming through all this. I mean, this whole thing is just amazing. And to think that the Lord included in his genealogy, someone that comes from a background of prostitution, Jesus was basically showing us, I have come for everyone. And anyone can be clean and acceptable through me if they'll simply come to me. And so there's no one that can't feel at home and can't feel welcome and know that they'll be forgiven by the Lord. It's just wonderful. I love it. And so this whole picture of Rahab, I can't wait to meet her. What an amazing woman Rahab is. So they departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way but didn't find them. The two men returned, descended from the mountain and crossed over, and they came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him what had befallen them. And then they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. So they're scared. Joshua now hears what he wants to hear. Now look at the reversal of this. The spies that came back the last time with Moses, they said, we're the ones that need to be afraid. They're giants. We can't conquer them. Now, by selectively picking some faithful men who had the eyes of the Spirit, they come back saying, they're all afraid of us. Don't you love this? Just what a reversal here. And again, God had put that fear in their hearts. And so they come now to chapter 3, where Joshua now gets ready to cross over in the Jordan. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. So in other words, let God lead this thing. Don't you do it. This is a God thing. You let God lead and you follow. What a principle there is for us in that. Let God be the one that leads us. We follow the Lord. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. I love this. About 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it. That is the ark, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you've not passed this way before. That is, you're going to a new area that you've never been before. Give God time to make the path clear. What a great truth that is for us. God, I don't know what to do. I've never been here before. Pray and wait. Pray and wait on the Lord. Let God, give God a little bit of room to go before you and say, look, trust me. Let me go before you. When you see the way that I go, simply follow. You know, really, I love this for Joshua and really for us as well, the whole picture here, because a true leader for the Lord is just somebody who knows how to follow really good. If you follow Jesus really good, what happens is you become a leader and don't even know it. I'm not trying to be a leader. I'm just following Jesus. I look back and all these people are following me. You know why? Because they see that you have direction to your life. They see that you're following Jesus. Look, he's following and they follow you. That's what a leader is. You want to be a leader for the Lord? And you say, well, I'm not a natural leader. I don't do that good. Follow Jesus and follow him closely. Watch him and follow him. You just become a leader. You can't help it. And this is what Joshua is doing. Now, he's telling them to do, let God go before, we'll follow him, he'll show us the way. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves or set yourselves apart for the Lord, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What a great promise that is. Tomorrow you're going to see wonders. I love it. Then Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and they went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. This is what a great thing for Joshua to hear. I'm going to back you. You know, they said, Joshua will follow you, only do as Moses did. He says, you know what? You follow me. I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to lift you up, and they're going to know that my hand's with you, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you've come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come and hear the words of the Lord your God. Now, this is interesting to me. Look what God is causing them to do now. God is causing the nation to grow, even as you would see a believer growing in their faith. But he's doing it on a national level in type here. What do I mean by that? Remember when they came to the Red Sea, God just said, stand here. Stand and see what I'm going to do. Don't go in. Just stand here. I'll split it. You'll cross over on dry ground. Now God says to the priests, first of all, you've got to get your feet wet. You've got to get your feet in the water. Once you step out in faith and get your feet a little bit wet, even when you don't see that I've yet stopped the waters of the Jordan, even when you don't see yet that I've divided the waters, I want you to step out in faith and trust me. And this is where, as a believer, you know, as a young believer, we wait on God for everything and we're a little bit scared and we don't take big steps of faith and God has to really just do everything. But as you grow in the Lord, God's going to say, now look, here's what I told you to do. Take a step of faith. And that's a part of that natural growth process. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord.
You've just heard Pastor Mark Kirk teaching from the book of Joshua here on Come to the Table. This book is home to the well-known story of the walls of Jericho and Rahab the harlot. But what may be less well-known is the Israelites' failure to obey God and completely possess the land promised to them. You see, some Israelites never fully enjoyed the blessing of God's promise because of sin in their lives. It can be the same with us, can't it? Whether it's disobedience, persuasion of worldly things, or a lack of faith, we miss out on God's blessing sometimes. But there's still good news for us. God's character, his faithfulness, and promises never change. They're still there, just waiting for us to trust and hold on to. If today's message had an impact on you, would you let us know by visiting our questions or comments link found on our website, thewaymedia.net? This is a good way for us to gauge how we can better serve you, our listeners. While you're there, stay a while. Familiarize yourself with our ministry and what we're about.
And if you can find yourself traveling through,
staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, We hope you'll come check us out at Calvary Knoxville. Consider that an invitation from us to you. We'd love to have you. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Unfortunately, our time must come to an end, but we want to say thank you for listening today. Pastor Mark has more in Joshua on the next edition of Come to the Table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.